This podcast was originally live streamed on the Non Sequitur Show on YouTube. New episodes air weekdays, Monday through Friday, at 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/nonsequiturshow. Make sure you never miss a live stream by visiting www.nonsecshow.com/schedule. For the latest news, polls and updates throughout the day, follow us on Twitter at nonsecshow or facebook.com/nonsecshow. That's NONSEQ show. If you'd like to get exclusive content, bi-weekly private hangouts with Kyle and Steve, backstage access to chat with guests after shows hosted on your channel and much more, become a Patreon saint of Non Sequitur. It ensures we continue to improve our show and brings you into the process at the same time. Visit patreon.com/nonsequitur today while the limited spots are still available.
The following podcast is intended for those who believe bold ideas are righteous, unique perspectives are gospel, and strong opinions are sacred. This is Non Sequitur. Never follow. And now, here are your hosts, Kyle Curtis and Steve McRae.
Welcome to Non Sequitur with Kyle Curtis and Steve McRae.
If you're wondering who that was, that is the artist formerly known as King Gigacell, who is the former incel that was on the show Monday and Tuesday night. He has since then left incels.is. He has become an active member in the Non Sequitur Discord. You'll be seeing him in various talks that we're having, and you'll be hearing him at the start of each show. So, very well done. I believe his new name now, Steve, is King Phoenix. I believe he renamed himself King Phoenix.
Oh, apropos, yeah, like risen again. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. So, future's bright for him. Let's talk about who the future is not bright for. By the way, hello to Willie Mays fan, your first time on the show. I hope that you leave in the same mindset that you came in. Sometimes it doesn't happen with our guests, but we're going to hope that that is the case with you. But welcome, sir. Welcome back to you, Jim.
I can't hear Jim.
Can anyone hear Jim?
What I meant to say was, hi, thanks for having me back.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Sure. Hi, welcome.
Sure.
All right, thank you for having me as well.
I want to talk about two brief things very quickly, and then we'll jump into tonight's debate. Now, as many of you have seen for the past couple days, I have been showing Brett King videos. I know a lot of you don't like it, but this is something that I feel within me. I have to, it's a cross that I have to bear. So I issued a challenge to him last night. Steve, I'd like for you to sum up Brett King's answer and response to my challenge that I laid out.
Brett King basically had said that he's more than willing to take up on your challenge for $1,000 to come back on. And by the way, that isn't him paying us, because I think he should pay us $1,000 to come back on, but us paying him $1,000 to come back on as a good faith gesture, I guess, because according to Brett Keane, the events that transpired between Kyle and Brett Keane a year plus ago never actually transpired, even though we have the chat records, we have the whole nine yards, we have the blogs that he made. Either he has a very, very poor recollection of past events, or he's just a demonstrable liar, and I'm going with the latter.
Willie, we're going to have to mute you for just a second because there's still some noise coming in through your microphone, and I'm not sure what's going on with that. But we'll mute you until we get to the debate part. Okay, so I then talked to him on Discord, and he said, I accepted your challenge. All I need is just a sign that you're willing to be serious, because last time you really hurt my feelings. I thought we would be pals. That was a line that he used. I thought we would be pals. No, Brett, we're not going to pay your $1,000. Sorry. I don't know if he's going. I don't know if he's going to answer my challenge. Probably not. I didn't really expect him to anyway. Because what's he going to come with? Those accusations that he was espousing in his video. Whatever. Interesting show that just got booked for next Tuesday. I'm sorry, next Monday. Tuesday is The Amazing Atheist. So I hope everybody remembers our guest that came and tried to prove God with salt. Right? How could you forget Misha Popoff? He came, he had a very salty case that it proved God. We weren't buying it, but nonetheless, he tried it. He published an article recently that I found fascinating, and I'm going to have him come on and talk about it. Now, I'm going to read you the first two lines of this article, and then I'll give you the premise, and then I'll let you walk away with what you think. It says, "How far will the homosexual movement go? Gay marriage, gay adoption, Christians forced to provide services for gay weddings, transgender bathrooms, sex ed for kids, a plethora of gay characters on TV, perfectly groomed, impeccably dressed, charming, and reciting all the best lines. Why, it's enough to make you want your kids to be gay."
Basically, did he just compare cleanliness and being well groomed as to homosexuality? Like, is he saying that's exclusive to homosexuality?
I'm gay as shit,
that
was, yeah, I'm gay as
that
fuck
is highly accurate.
Because I like to my thing.
Jim, we know that. That's why it fits for you.
Whatever, Kyle.
I'm Steve. Am I wrong?
No, I don't know you are.
Okay, cool. all right, so here's the premise of this article, and I want you to buckle up, because this is going to be this talk with him is going to be fantastic. Okay, what does this have to do with my church, you ask? I'm referring to none other than our King, the King of Kings. Yep, that one. It goes back to the night that Jesus was arrested. After Jesus rebuked Peter for cutting off the guard's ear, we read of a certain young man having a linen cloth cast about his naked body, who, when the guards tried to seize him, left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. The theory is that our Savior wasn't praying in the garden, but was otherwise engaged with this young man. It is so far beyond belief that most Catholics and Protestants refuse to even discuss it, which is precisely where the leaders of the exactly what the leaders of the gay movement want. Silence, please, Christians. We'll handle this. So, how does this article end? Where does he think this is going to go? Tune in Monday to find out. But I promise you, you will not want to miss this. It's going to be fascinating. You're shaking your head, Jim. Do you have thoughts to add to this?
That just sounds wild. I mean, it sounds like really crazy. It sounds like Jesus was praying, but it's just different kind of praying.
You said before we started that there was this was corroborated somewhere else too. Sounded like, right?
Yeah, there's some people who link the young man who got away and left his linens behind to the young man found in the tomb, dressed in linens, and some people even expound upon that and say that not only was it the same young man, but that young man was Mark. So that's kind of an interesting tale, I guess.
Let me find out. Okay, Steve, I will turn it over to you to introduce tonight's topic and what we're going to be debating about this evening.
All right, well, tonight we got something a little bit different. This kind of came from a discussion we had, I believe it was on my channel, relating to No True Christian, because Jim Majors here, who happens to be a pretty prominent atheist nowadays, CEO of the Atheist Republic, he has been a Christian at one time, and according to Willie here, he was never a Christian. And so I wanted to kind of hear their discussion as to why Willie thinks that he was never a Christian. because I was a Christian at one time. I know Kyle was a Christian at one time. To say that we weren't what we professed to be at the time seems really strange to me. So I wanted to really hear a back and forth with them as why in the world would somebody retroactively or post-actively say that you weren't something that you were before, if that's what they were before. So anyways, we got Willie Mays here. We got Jim. Jim, why don't you introduce yourself first, and then we'll get to Willie.
Hi, everyone. Like Steve said, I'm Jim Majors. I'm CEO of Atheist Republic, and I'm here pretty much all the time. This is kind of my become my second home. I don't know. I think that's.
And do we have to give you $1,000 each time, by the way, Jim? Do we have to pay you $1,000 to come on?
He pays in other ways.
Well,
he works. Yeah. He works it off. Okay, I guess he works it off.
Yeah.
Right. Trust me, he's
wait, we're not getting paid?
Yeah, it's in the mail. It'll get there
eventually. Sure.
You may not like the way Kyle pays off his debts. Yeah. But anyway, Jim, finish.
Poor Scott, man, it's his first time on the channel and we're just bombarding him.
He'll get used to it. It's kind of like being but like a vaccine, right? You just have to like get used to it, build up a tolerance and that kind of stuff. Inoculation, yeah. We know who you are, Jim. Willie.
Yeah.
Whatever, Jim, shut up. We know who you are. Do you want to introduce yourself, Jim?
No, I'm good.
You have a channel now. Tell about your channel.
I don't have a channel, but myself, Lawrence, and Lawrence Yufa, and Christopher Hansen, we are, for those we don't know, we are starting up the Unheavenly Host. We'll be deeply getting into some textual criticism of the Bible, just kind of going farther past the surface. And for those who have seen me talk about various topics, you know how deep I like to get on it. And if you've seen Lawrence or Chris, then you know how deep they like to get on it. So the three of us together, it's going to be a really good channel. So you guys go subscribe to that when it comes out, because it's not there yet.
The three of them are going to get very deep together.
Chris Hansen about those checks, writing those bad checks. It seemed like that'd be an issue.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It seemed like it's like I heard him tell me to take a seat or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I bet you hear that a lot. Yeah. Anyways, Willie,
take a seat.
Welcome. Take a seat, Jim. Why don't you have a seat right there while we talk to Willie real quick? Willie.
Yeah.
I'm here. Hello, right, everyone. Buddy.
So introduce yourself and go from there.
My screen name is Willie Mays Fan. I grew up playing baseball, watching baseball, loving baseball. Loved Willie Mays, loved how he played the game, 5-tool player. I am a Christian. And I was watching the show the other day, and I got on late, and I didn't know what the topic was, and I heard a few things, and I said that I proclaimed that Jim as well as John were not Christians. They were never Christians. And this is how we came about. But as far as me, divorced father of three, live in Massachusetts, faithful man of God, love my Lord, and I'd love to see everyone saved. And I'm really looking forward to this conversation tonight.
Awesome. We are too. So, Jim, you were a Christian at one time, right, Jim? All right. Why don't you kind of give a backstory? No, you weren't a Christian. So you were a Christian, but you weren't a Christian. You were a Christian and a non-Christian at the same time. You were a walking violation of the non-contradiction. Okay. So why don't you give us your background as far as your Christianity, and then Willie can kind of tell us why he doesn't think you were ever Christian.
Steve, if I may. If I may.
Yeah,
I was actually going to ask. I was going to ask a similar question to Jim. I wanted to know about his upbringing. Maybe perhaps you can spend a couple of minutes on your upbringing. How you became, into the church, and kind of give me a background of your life so I can better understand you.
Yeah, no problem. Okay, so my great uncle founded the first Pentecostal church in our hometown, and I grew up within that church. Now, we had moved off, but my mom was raised Mormon, and my dad was raised Pentecostal. And so that made for a really kind of strange meshing of things, but neither one of them were very religious. So whenever it came right down to it, like the apostolic churches or the full gospel churches were the ones that we would go to when we were away from the family church, because we moved around a lot during my childhood, but I still held very close to much of the Pentecostal doctrine. And with my parents not being very religious and not being very knowledgeable or even expressing, the Bible around us, it was all, a fear of hell or of heaven. It was the only time that they would bring up religion was to for either an incentive or for an incentive either way, to be good or be bad, whatever. And why are you lying? Jesus doesn't like it when you lie, things like that. But I love going to church, and from the earliest I can remember, I remember having other family members that would come and pick me up from my house, and they would take me to church because, my parents would, didn't go. And sometimes, my siblings would come with me, but myself, every time the church doors were open, I was able, I was there. Sunday morning, Sunday night, we had Monday prayer, we had Tuesday men's night, we had a Wednesday night, we had Thursday Bible study. I mean, I was in there all the damn time. From a very early age, my favorite book was the Bible. I started reading at the age of four. I started reading at a very early age. And wow. The Bible was something that was just, for some reason, just very, very interesting to me. And being Pentecostal, we had the King James Version. And so that added to the difficulty of my interpretation. And it wasn't until later when I actually understood the reason for the translation and everything along those lines, did I realize how to read it and that there were other methods to read the Bible besides the King James, because the church that I grew up in was a King James only. And so, I adhered to that for a short period of time until I discovered for myself that to me was a false belief. We moved, back and forth from our hometown or our home state to other states. My dad, for a living, opened up stone quarries. So we would travel to these mountainous states, Oklahoma, Utah, Nevada, Colorado, New Mexico, North Texas. Wow. And that we would get stone and we would palletize it. And so that's what I did every summer, palletizing stone. And it's actually not a bad living for a kid, but it's hella hard work. And so we were away from our home church a lot. But I came back when I was 8 years old, and after being gone for quite a while, this is what I can remember is whenever I came back at 8 years old. I don't remember a whole lot before then. But I do remember asking I could preach a sermon. And I was told no. I was kind of laughed off or whatever. And my great uncle told me, he said, I'll tell you what, Bubba, he said, you come back when you have five sermons and I'll let you preach one.
At okay. eight?
All right. So well, that sounds
this is an entire year later. I was nine by this point. I was eight when we moved back.
You were a true blue believer, right?
Oh, at 8 or 9?
Well, no, not, but I mean,
I thought I was. I mean, for sure. I'm going to get there.
Okay, all right. Well, yeah, really needs to talk too.
Well, I know. I'm just going by his request, what he wanted.
Yeah, no, go for it, man. Take it.
Okay,
all yours, brother.
I'll speed it up a little bit. If there's any blanks you want me to fill in, Scott, just let me know. I'll fill them in for you. Let's see. Okay, yeah. So at 9 years old, I preached my first sermon in front of the whole church, and it was just something that was just amazing. Like I just loved it, and I knew from from that moment. Actually, I knew when I was writing the sermons, when I was looking up the own cross references myself, and I just remember like just being so infatuated with it. I didn't want to do anything else. We didn't have TV in the house, so I mean, it's not like, you know, I was going to be watching TV or whatever, but everybody else was outside riding their bikes, and I was, you know, inside with these just notebooks, just upon notebooks of notes. And so from 9 years old until about 14, you know, I read just the black and white of the Bible, and I studied the black and white of it, what I call the black and white, what's on the page. And it wasn't until after about 13 or 14 that I actually started to study what's in the page. And by this point, I was bringing the Bible with me to school every day. And in my free time, I was reading the Bible and taking notes and writing sermons and writing, you know, notes and things like along those lines. And so that was when I started to discover a lot of things that concerned me. Things like, you know, what is the Trinity? You know, is the Trinity biblical? Like, is what I'm practicing biblical? And then I started to apply things that I had noticed as a young child, going to different churches. Like, for instance, when I was with my grandparents, when I went to their church for the first time, it was a Baptist church, and the organist started playing, and she was playing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. You know that song?
Sure.
Yeah. What a fellowship. What? Yeah. So, and that's my jam, right? And so I stand up and I start clapping, you know, start clapping along with it, you know, put my hand up, and I didn't get three claps in, and my grandpa grabbed my arm and he yanked me down embarrassed and said, "We don't do that here." And I just remember just being like, "What do you mean you don't do that here? Like, you don't get the Holy Ghost? Like, what are you trying to say?" You know? And so it occurred to me that there are so many different sects that interpret things differently. And like for instance, you rarely see anybody speaking in tongues outside of an apostolic church. And so that was something that occurred to me early on. And then the other traditions, like the Roman Orthodox, there's, you know, a bunch of different deviations from what was once considered Orthodox or what was questioned as Orthodox. How much further do you want me to go? Is that good?
Well, I no, that's fine. My question is, when did you know, I'm just a regular guy. I was telling John, I'm a pretty calm, chill guy. I may speak a little different than a normal person because I try to, you know, speak godly. However, when do you feel that, or when did you notice that the enemy was kind of planning things in your mind? Like when did you find the transition?
I don't believe that the enemy was ever in my mind. There was a point where I was excited because being able to define who God is. Until that point, I had an idea of who I thought God was, but upon examining the Bible deeper, I found things and when comparing them to other religious journals and to other biblical studies and finding out that what I'm reading concurs with all these other things. Like, it really, you know, it really just concerned me.
Yeah. But my question is moving forward. Okay. From that age, right. Moving forward.
Oh, okay. So, when did at one point, I felt like I had defined God. I felt like I had a good grasp of who God was. And
why did you feel like you,
Hang on. And one second. The more that I studied about who God was, so when my first idea of God, the definition of him was vague. It was huge, right? It was a huge definition of him. And the more I studied about God, the smaller my God became, because I had to confine him within these realms. And it just, an infinite regress. And it just got to a point to where the scales finally tipped, and I I remember it was about 2 years that I battled this every day praying, and I still remember my last prayer, my last fervent prayer, begging God, like, God, I cannot take this anymore. Like, I cannot do this. Like, if you are real, like, if you are, you know, if this Bible is real, if what is in this word is true, then I need you to show me, because right now there is so much evidence against it that I don't think I can go on anymore. Because I had gone on for so long, and I lost my belief in heaven and my belief in the resurrected Jesus before I lost my belief in hell. That was the last belief that I held on to. That is the only thing that held me on to that belief, was the fear of going to hell if I completely let go.
So as a Christian, and I'm not holding my fingers up in quotations, as a Christian, we are to lean on Proverbs 3:5-6. I'm sure you're aware of it. For those who don't, I'll go through it quickly. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. So essentially, it sounds like you are trying to, all these things were kind of coming at you at once, and really filling your mind with doubt.
No, they weren't coming to me all at once, and they weren't coming to me. I was going to them. These are things that have always existed there, but I just discovered them.
So as a Christian, it sounds like you didn't lean on your own understandings, because as a man of God, sometimes I don't like to use the word Christian, because there are a lot of Christians that, quote unquote, Christians that really are not Christians, and they really make it bad for the true Christians. So as a man of God,
what is a true Christian?
A follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the center. So when you were in the faith, when you said you were a Christian, did you have a personal relationship? When you say you were a Christian, you had a personal
100%.
You had a personal relationship with Jesus.
Yes.
So
absolutely.
I suppose my next question would be, how do you reason out of Christianity, of having God be your ultimate authority, your king, your savior, the ultimate authority and power and knowledge and joy and whatnot? Throw some more adjectives in there if you like, to your own reasoning and saying that he wasn't. How did that transition happen?
Well, because the problem is that we're not leaning on God's understanding. We're leaning on our understanding, because we don't have God to interpret these scriptures for us. I mean, whose understanding are we to lean on in interpreting these?
Well, we as Christians, we go to the Bible. We talk to other Christians. We talk to elders. Sure. We talk to pastors, you know, we talk to those that have more information or more knowledge. Maybe they've gone to school or been a pastor for a long time, mm-hmm. seen more things. And, you know, I myself have several pastors that I talk to when I don't understand something. And when I do that, I don't try to plant anything in their mind. I just say, hey, can you explain Hebrews chapter 7:1-3 for me, where I already have an idea, and then I let them explain it to me, and then I do it a couple more times. But I'll say shocking, I have
current pastors, and in fact, if you like, I can screen share and show you my emails. I have pastors from Abbeville Parish that contact me regularly to get my opinion on things, and to get the Hebrew interpretation, and to get the Greek interpretation, and to get a deeper understanding of this. Hell, I still write sermons for some of these people. I mean, these are very godly people who know that I'm an atheist, but they recognize that I have, I mean, and not to be braggadocious, but that I do have a wealth of knowledge that not many Christians have.
But, and maybe I didn't understand, and you might have to explain it, maybe like I'm a 12-year-old. I'm kidding, of course, but
sure.
I'm really curious, and I want to understand when the Bible says in 2 Timothy, let me see. Excuse me, in 1 John, where it says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been with us, or of us, excuse me, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they were all, that all are not of us. So basically, to paraphrase, 1 John 2:19 saying, look, they went out from us because they were never of us. And I do right. believe that the Bible is God's infallible, inerrant word. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and so on and so forth. So how can you reason out of Jesus Christ if you weren't using your reason?
I didn't reason out of Jesus Christ. I don't know why you think I reasoned out of Jesus Christ.
Because you left the faith.
And that doesn't mean that I stopped believing in Jesus.
So do you believe Jesus is real?
He was. Certainly not anymore.
Okay. How is Jesus, he was real before, but now he isn't?
Well, people die, Scott.
Well, sure, but this was 2,000 years ago.
Right, and it's documented he died.
Okay, so you went from, and you're claiming that you were a follower of Jesus. You had Jesus in your heart. He was the centerpiece of your faith, to not having him
right.
at all. And you're,
well,
and
again, you're misrepresenting me. Oops, you're saying okay. that I don't
Please
have him at
again,
all,
sorry.
But the only thing that I did not bring with me was the biblical Jesus. For example, the virgin birth, the miracles, the resurrection, many of his sayings. There's a lot of a lot that can be proven that Jesus did do and didn't do, and there's even more evidence to point to that. Well, for one, that none of the accounts were eyewitness accounts, but that's another story.
Well, I don't want to go down a rabbit hole of evidence.
Right. That's
I'm sorry.
No, that's all saying. Like, that's another story. It's another rabbit hole.
Yeah, I'm more concerned with. I'm a sola scriptura, so I guess I would be a Protestant, although I don't
okay.
consider myself a Protestant. I'm just sola scriptura. I go by the word of God. And for many years, I was with the KJV, and I had a hard time understanding some of the verses. So I started looking at the Blue Letter Bible online, and ESV and the NIV, so I could understand textual, because some Bibles are word for word and some are thought for thought. So, I think it's good to do that. But, I'm just stuck on 1 John 2:19, and I believe that I believe the Bible is true. I believe God is true and his word is true. And it says they were never of us. If they left us, they were never of us. So
right, but I'm sure that you get onto people all the time about taking stuff out of context. That's exactly what you're doing here. You are uplifting when they were talking to themselves. This isn't we're not talking about speaking in parables here.
Right, you're talking about
there's a very noticeable difference between when they're speaking in parables and when they're speaking to each other.
So how would
seemingly speaking to each other?
how is First John 2:19 a parable versus directly speaking that if they were with us, they would have stayed with us?
I said that it's not a parable.
Okay, so we can agree that that's not a parable.
Right, because parables are what people use to relate to current times, because it's a story that's told to express something or to teach an idea. Like Mark does a lot of that. Luke does some of that. First John, you are taking it out of context completely.
So when someone says that they were a Christian and they're no longer a Christian and the Bible addresses it, let me play, and I know this is a terrible word coming from me saying it out here, but let me play devil's advocate. Let's flip the script. You know, you studied quite a lot and you had many notes and scriptures. If you were me and I were you, would you not turn to 1 John 2:19? What would be your argument to tell me that I was never a Christian?
I would never argue that. I think that is an absurd claim to make, given the fact that there is such a wide range of beliefs out there. I mean, we're talking a huge range, Scott. Look, okay, so you understand that telling me that I was never a true Christian, that is not, anyway, first of all, that doesn't anyway validate your religion. Let me just clarify that, first of all. But I just also want to also clarify that there's such a large margin of interpretation of the very same book that both you and I read and both you and I studied in, that both you and I at one time based our entire life and mindset and worldview around. This is the same book that I got my justification for my exegesis, and the same that many other Bible studiers come to their conclusions. I mean, and so, like, take first century Christians, for instance. So they were almost entirely Jewish converts, right? Almost entirely, right? For the first 100 years. Okay. So
yep.
They did not think that they were starting a new religion, right? So they weren't changing things, right? They saw this as a continuation of Judaism, right? Because some of the Gospels teach, you know, that Jesus does away with the old laws, you know, that he says that you can eat whatever you want now and all these other things. But in other Gospels, if you read them by themselves, Jesus very much maintains the Hebrew law. And so this is, first of all, that's just proof that that other Gospels were written after Mark was, to appeal to the Jews, like Matthew and Luke were, because of all the Judaic references and all the Judaic laws that they hold to. But then you have Jews elsewhere who reject this because they recognize that he's doesn't, you know, fulfill the messianic prophecies. I mean, it's a bunch of things that he doesn't do, but that's besides the point. But I mean, the fact that there is come to all of these different conclusions.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this. You say there's no Jesus. Jesus is not real, correct?
I didn't say that again.
I'm asking you, is Jesus real?
You already asked me that.
Okay, is God real?
He believes he was real.
Yes, I believe that he was a living man. At one time, I believe that he was born. I believe that he roamed southern Judea with a following of people. I believe he was baptized. And I believe that he was crucified. And that's about it.
Okay. And you're an atheist now. So you don't believe in God.
That is correct.
Is that that's a fair statement. So a professor, okay, I'm sorry. All right, so you're an atheist.
That's fine, go ahead.
If you are a professing atheist, why would it bother or perhaps concern you that a man of God or someone else of any, maybe not even a man of God who believes in God, why would it concern you if someone says to you, Jim, you were never a Christian?
Because it's a completely dishonest tactic. It's a completely dishonest means to try to move the goalpost and try to discredit me immediately by saying, oh, well, you're an atheist, so obviously you don't know what you're talking about.
No, not at all, actually. I'm trying to – I would like to know, as an atheist, because clearly I'm not, as an atheist, why would it bother you for someone to say you were never a Christian when right now you don't believe in God and you don't believe in Jesus? You believe that Jesus was a person, yeah, but you don't believe he was the Son of God, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so why would it bother you for me? Let's just stick with me instead of other people. Why would it?
Okay.
Do you feel I'm being dishonest by...
Yeah, you know, absolutely. Because instead of addressing the position, you attack my previous belief. Instead of attacking my argument, you attack me. A dishonest tactic.
Well, I don't feel it was dishonest. I wanted to know...
I believe it was. Do you know that I wasn't a true Christian?
Do I know?
Yeah.
Yes.
And how do you?
1 John 2:19.
Okay, let me ask you this. Are you a true Christian?
Absolutely.
How do you know that?
I've given my heart to Christ. I have a personal relationship with Jesus and God.
Okay.
He is the center of my world.
Okay, he's the center of my world. What else?
My presupposition is that you have to start with God in order to know anything.
Yeah, I started with God. What else?
Romans 11:36, from him, through him, and to him are all things. He's okay. My ultimate authority.
Okay. But you understand that you're referencing the Bible to justify the validity of the Bible, right? That's circular reasoning.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So
because God, God is my ultimate authority. So if you can't use an ultimate authority as a presupposition, God is my ultimate authority, what can you use? You can't use anything. So, I mean, I could ask you.
You believe that the Bible is infallible, right?
Absolutely.
If you were to find one day that the Bible was fallible, completely fallible, would you abandon your faith?
Well, that's begging the question, if I ever found out that it was.
Yeah, sure.
And it'd
be begging the question, like, if I ever found out God was real, would I accept God? Right?
Yeah, I would have to argue.
Let's place a little mind exercise real quick.
I would have to disagree with the question, because it's a hypothesis it's not going to be true, because God's word, the Bible, is true and it is infallible and it is inerrant and there are no contradictions. So
okay, but again, I'm giving you a hypothetical. I'm sure that you know what hypotheticals are, and I'm sure that you can temporarily put yourself in the place to answer a hypothetical.
On other subjects, yes, but on my faith, no.
But not this one. Okay, so is it like a theological inhibition?
I don't want to insult the Lord whom I adore.
Sure. Understand. No problem. Okay. Let me ask you this. How deeply have you studied the Bible?
Not as deep as I would like to have.
Right. Well, take for instance, like something simple, like which gospel was written first?
Are you talking about the New Testament? You're talking about the New Testament, not the Old Testament.
The Gospels.
Well, I know it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, but do I know per se? I would have to say Matthew, but you know, is that absolutely important to me that I need to know which one was written first? No.
It most certainly should be. Most certainly. How in the world could you form your life around a book that you don't study because you're content with what you already know about it?
No, I continue to learn and I continue to read. I've got a great Bible.
What did you just say though?
You asked me if it was important to know which gospel was written first.
Sure.
What does that have to do with my relationship with Jesus? The Old Testament foretelling what was the coming of Jesus, knowing that Jesus was with God when he created the earth. Why would it?
Of course they knew because they were reading the Hebrew Bible. Of course they knew because these Hellenized Jews were reading the Greek Septuagint, which is the translation of the Hebrew Bible. So they were reading the Old Testament. The writers of the New Testament were very familiar with the Old Testament, but they were familiar with it through the Septuagint. And we see that, like when they're referencing the virgin birth, and they're referencing Isaiah, and they do a mistranslation, and or they're referencing Hosea, and they do a mistranslation, or they're mistranslating somebody else and doing a mistranslation, and it totally screws everything up, and now we're stuck with a virgin birth that never existed in the first place.
I think the question is real quick, we're going to bring in some other people here to kind of expand upon this a little bit. But before we do, I think the question he's kind of asking is, and I think it's an important question, is what differentiates you from him as far as what he used to believe? I see no differentiation. I cannot separate him as somebody who used to be a Christian and you as a Christian now. I have no comparative by which I can measure that everything you've said, he used to believe. What's the difference?
And neither does he. Neither does he. I'm willing to put money on it that this man whose entire life and salvation revolves around his Savior cannot tell me where his family he was born.
I didn't hear what you said.
Where did Mary and Joseph take Jesus after he was born?
To Jerusalem.
No, they went to Egypt. They fled to Egypt to escape Herod.
He was born
there. And they stayed there until Herod died.
And then he went to Jerusalem.
Then he was born in Nazareth.
Nazareth. And then went to Bethlehem.
No, he was born in Bethlehem. Okay, they were already in Bethlehem, okay? Like, let's say, take Matthew. They're already in Bethlehem. The Magi come to Bethlehem from Jerusalem after talking to Herod. They're following a star. The angel appears to Joseph and says, hey, he's trying to kill your kid. So they take Jesus and they flee to Egypt. And they stay there until Herod dies. And that's to fulfill the prophecy in Hosea, where I believe it's Hosea 11:1, where it says, out of Egypt do I call my son. And that is a blatant, blatant attempt by Matthew to appeal to the first century Jew. A blatant attempt by referencing the Old Testament.
They were trying to make the prophecy come true. Anyways, Kyle, Jim, you got some people, I think, Jim, that popped in.
Jim, I need you to take a deep breath in and a deep breath out because you're going to need your patience, okay? Center. You're going to need your patience. I'm telling you that now.
Who are you bringing in?
Need your patience. Yourself. Okay?
If it's my mom, I swear.
Close. You'll be begging for your mom, though. You'll be begging for your mom.
Hello, dear James.
Hello, brother.
Hello, hello.
Well, hello.
John is here.
Willie?
And Saiten Brugenkate, welcome back.
Hey, how's it going? Were you talking about me that you would require patience for?
Of course.
Could be.
Oh, come on. I'm a teddy bear.
I don't know that. But I'm just saying, he's gonna need the patience. You know this, Sai.
No, I just don't see what the problem is. I think it's just a logical problem that would be easy to clear up. Now, this is the question that I would ask. If I thought I was married for 20 years, and then I later discovered that my wife never existed, was I married?
That depends on your perception of it, that whether or not you used to stay married. Because time, yeah, you were married.
So I thought I was married, but my wife never existed, and you're saying that I was married when I didn't have a wife.
According to you. I mean, now I don't know how deep your conviction was on that belief, but if it's something that you believe, then sure.
Okay. I think that's all I have to say because that's absurd. Well, I think the problem is
that you're using a legal thing. Marriage is a legal term, right? I mean, that's a contract.
What I'm saying is that if you had a relationship with the son of God,
rather than a belief system.
No, but if you had a relationship with the son of God, and now he says that Jesus is not the son of God, it follows logically he never had a relationship with the son of God. It's just a very simple logical problem.
Okay, no, but that is only the position of the person who is still maintaining the hallucination.
Well,
okay, that is only from the position of the person who still believes that this is truth. Okay, you cannot reject this. You cannot. Okay, you cannot do it without risking your eternal salvation. So you have a dog in this fight. Okay, you have a big dog in this fight. Do I have a dog in this fight? Sure, but it's a little dog.
Listen, what you're saying is you are only a Christian if Christianity is false. That's what you're saying.
No, I'm not at all.
Because it can still be true, and I can still reject it. Don't you hold some beliefs that you think might be false? Maybe I'm not talking about religion or anything, so don't get testy. But I'm just saying anything else. Do you think there's any other you hold that might be?
That's irrelevant. We're talking about foundational beliefs, ultimate authorities. If God was your ultimate
beliefs, all beliefs have a foundation to them. All beliefs.
Well, let me ask you a question. As a Christian, is God, the God of the universe, the God who created this universe, as a Christian, is God your ultimate authority?
No, his word is.
Well, God and his word.
No, not God and his word. His word.
Well,
we don't have God.
Well, we have his word. The word of God was your ultimate authority.
Okay.
And now you don't believe
that's
the word of God.
That's fine. But the word of God is not God. Okay. So that's don't say that you have God. Like you're
God as revealed in his word. That's my ultimate authority. If something contradicts that, I go back to the word of God as my ultimate authority. Now you are saying that
and that is what I did. That was my truth. Like, do you think that I just came to this shit overnight? You don't think I went back to the word? I mean, for fuck's sake.
No, what I'm saying is it's impossible logically to read out of that.
I just wanted to say it surprises me so much to hear you say that because I've never heard you make that argument before.
Well, good.
He's got new tricks up.
That's a new argument. Hey, great.
It's logically impossible to reason out of a position that God is the foundation of your reasoning, because the instance that you do, it exposes that God is not the foundation of your reasoning. And as Willie was saying earlier, that as a Christian, if something doesn't make sense,
still
if something doesn't make sense, yeah, if something doesn't make sense to a Christian, we lean not on our own understanding and all our ways acknowledge him, and he will make our path straight. We don't say now we're no longer a Christian because that exposes the fact that God is not our ultimate authority. It's not a big problem. It's a logical problem. That's all. I mean, I'm just saying logically it doesn't make sense that you are a Christian.
It just means that the belief was wrong. I think you might be using the term Christianity differently, and I think there might be an equivocation issue.
Yeah,
and I see that. But how are you using the term Christian?
He was a Christian if Christianity is false. But if Christianity is true, he would have to admit that he was never a Christian. He believed he was. I have no problem with him saying he believed he was a Christian. But to say he was a Christian means that the God of the universe was the foundation.
I was, because imagine yourself now. If 10 years from now, if you left the faith, if you could picture yourself where you are now, do you believe you're a Christian? Or are you a Christian?
It's impossible for me to leave the faith.
Do you believe you're a Christian, or are you a Christian? That's a simple question.
I am a Christian, and I believe that I'm a Christian.
You are a Christian. That is right. And had you asked me that question 10 years ago, I would have answered the same way.
But Jim,
right.
Jim,
however,
Cy's saying from his positions, from his, I hate to say worldview, but his precept, you cannot leave the faith once you are a Christian, because you it'd be impossible from his perspective, because God would be the ultimate authority, and you can't just leave that. You can only leave Christianity if Christianity is not true, right?
But that is under his false presumption. That is under his false presumption and conflation that God is the authority and not the Bible. The Bible is the authority, not God. The Bible.
Well, the word
your
of God.
Instructions. You're not getting your instruction. Well, it's the alleged word of God.
Well, that's the problem.
But again, you are acting like every other Christian, and acting like that you have firsthand knowledge of this straight from God, when really you're getting this through 66 different books that are fabricated by man over thousands of years.
That's totally irrelevant, because what I'm saying is logic.
How is it totally irrelevant? It's the word of God. How is that irrelevant?
Guys, one at a time.
Let me explain to you one more time. As a Christian, the word of God is my ultimate authority. I cannot reason out of that position, because that would prove that the word of God is not my ultimate authority. It's a logical position.
Right.
I don't understand that.
Okay. Okay. I don't see the disconnect here.
Oh, that's fine. I think I've explained it quite well. And yeah, I'm not surprised that you cannot.
Can I get in there?
I have a question before we get on. John, Cy.
Yeah.
Could you be wrong about that?
No, I couldn't be wrong.
How do you reason without using your reason, Cy?
Go ahead, John.
Are you a brain in a vat? How do you know?
We're gonna have a hangout on that one day. Actually, what's funny is we really are going to be discussing that. I hope Cy can join us, because that's gonna be a fun.
But I really would get back to my argument about, and I'm saying, and I know that you think that's a legal problem, but I think
Hold on.
If I thought that I was married for 20 years, and then now I say I don't have a wife, I wasn't married, and I think it's the same argument. You may have thought God was the authority, but clearly he wasn't, because you cannot logically reason out of that position. It's impossible. And that's what Scripture says. Those who left us were never among us. And so biblically, it doesn't make sense, and logically, it doesn't make sense. I have no problem
it makes absolute sense, because it defends the belief, because it gives people justification to read people who speak out against it that have left the faith. They say, oh, well, it says right here that he left, we don't have to listen to what he says. It is a defense mechanism. I mean, you can't see that?
Well, let me ask you very simply then, how do you reason out of the position that the word of God is the ultimate authority of your reasoning?
By examining it, by reading it, by trying to explain seeming contradictions, and being able to explain some, but not being able to explain a whole lot more. Okay.
When you see a contradiction, what is your ultimate authority?
The Bible.
So why isn't it your ultimate authority then? If you say that you left.
Why is that funny? Why is that funny? Isn't it your authority? If you don't understand something in the Bible, don't you go back to the Bible?
Is the word of God your ultimate authority now?
On the Bible, yes. Like that's like saying, like, is Superman comics your authority on Superman? Like, basically, that's all I've got. Yeah.
Is the word of God your ultimate authority? Not on specifics, on everything. Is the word of God your ultimate authority?
Oh, hell no. Is it yours?
Yes, it is. Okay, now, My question, once again, is how do you reason out of the position that the Word of God is your ultimate authority? Clearly, you would see logically that it shows that the Word of God was never your ultimate authority, because you cannot reason out of that position. If you reason out of that position, it shows that your own reasoning was your ultimate authority. Surely, Scott and Kyle, you can see that.
No. It shows that there's a fail-safe that prevents people from leaving the faith because they're not allowed to question it. They're not allowed to... They're not allowed to change it. That's why the early church was so quick in the first 400 years to secure the Orthodox and like the Nicene Creed and all these things, because they couldn't. The Bible was not clear in who Jesus was. The Bible's not clear in who God was. And the places that it is clear, it shows both of them to be people that we're not really, you know. It's not really who you picture them being.
Steve,
gotta let John.
You're a very reasonable person.
Yeah, hey. It depends on who you ask, Cy, but I appreciate that. Let's get John in here real quick, and then I promise you can ask me anything you want, Cy. Cool. All right. Mm-hmm. John?
Well, look, I want to go back to Willie. You know, that's who I expected to talk to, but of course, Cy can weigh in on this too. My question is, okay, Willie, you claim that myself and Jim, we could have never been Christians because we left the faith, and my backstory is similar to Jim's. You know, my question is, what do you believe was going on at the time that we thought we were Christians and felt the Spirit of the Lord in us? Were we being deceived by Satan? Were we delusional? What do you believe was going on and made us to think that we were Christians?
What was the person that Jesus, who is currently teaching young adult Bible classes, did I lead him to Jesus through the power of Satan?
Let me answer John's question. And John, nice to talk to you. I would say,
you too, Willie.
If I had to guess, I've never been in the situation, but if I had to guess logically, it was based on feelings.
But see, that's the thing, though, is that you have been in the situation.
Well, see, if it's based on feelings, okay, as opposed to what I'm saying, that Satan was deceiving me or I was being delusional, if it's all based on feelings, then it goes back to a question that Jim asked you about a half hour ago. How do you know that you're a true Christian? How could you possibly know if it's based on feelings or based on what I said, that how do you know Satan's not deceiving you? How do you know you're not delusional? I mean, how can anybody ever know that they're a true Christian?
Willie,
and you and Cy can answer this. I have a broader question, though, that kind of piggybacks on John's point. Ultimately, is it any of each other's business whether or not you were in fact a true Christian or you weren't? Shouldn't that be a thing that was between
exactly
God and the individual, that, and not so much anyone else that's in this call or anything? Like who are we to judge if it is true?
Well, that's the point that I wanted to bring up eventually, because this whole thing started because of an argument about something, or not an argument, but a discussion about something in the Bible. And when I pulled out my ace, I was immediately discredited by, oh, well, you must not have been a true Christian, you know, and that's it's dishonest. You know, whenever we're trying to, I mean, especially if you hold these beliefs to be true, then you should be able to argue them from a position of integrity. And if you can't do that, honestly, then you really need to reassess why you believe what you believe.
Cy and Willie, Cy, we'll start with you first. Why is it any of our?
The thing is, somebody can walk the earth and say that they're the president of the United States for 20 years. Is it my business? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want the guy to speak wrongly. Definitionally, simple logical problem. It's based on the definition of what a Christian is. Now, like I say, I could say that I was married for 20 years, and you say it's none of anybody's business to say that I was not married for 20 years. If you find out that my wife never existed. It might be nobody's business. It would just be false. Now, it might be not your business. It might not be your business. Pardon me?
Sure, but aren't there verses that say something to the effect of not to try to guess that about somebody or judge.
Can I ask this? Where to judge righteously?
No, it's just a definitional thing.
How about my question though? How can you know yourself that you are a true Christian? How can you know if you're saying me and Jim couldn't have known that we were wrong and what we
right. I did right. And this is exactly what I was going to say, but let me expand on that and use your own analogy about the wife that you're married to. If somebody realizes that you're not married to somebody and you believe that you are married to somebody and they tell you, hey, I'm not married to anybody, they're not real, would you believe them?
Well, that would be, it's irrelevant to this topic. Would I believe them? Probably not. Well, I'd be delusional.
No, no, it's not, because you'd be delusional. You would still be stuck in the delusion. So what makes you think that you aren't? So what makes you think that you are not stuck in the delusion? And I'm saying you're not married.
That has to do with a person's epistemology. I have no problem with that. But if you want to say that as a Christian you are delusional, I have no problem with that. But you weren't a Christian.
No. I would never call a Christian delusional. That is not a claim that I make.
Okay, but then
can
again,
we do this real quick?
Yes.
So can we do this real quick? First of all, you're breaking up a little bit, Jim. To let you know, can we do kind of a quick enumeration, because you keep on bringing up the logic in this and I just don't think you're right on it. Let's break it down and enumerate here. Either God exists or he doesn't exist, okay? And if God does not exist, it doesn't change the fact that Jim believed, and to be a Christian, it's a matter of belief. It doesn't matter ontologically if God actually exists or not. He still had that belief. You don't retroactively and take what's called principle of attribution and retraction. You don't change the fact that he believed that. He just had a false belief, right? Knowledge cannot be wrong. You know that.
Okay.
But beliefs
I have no
so he still problem. Was a Christian. He just had a false belief.
No, God I have no exist. Problem saying that he believed he was a Christian. Just like you saying, I have no problem saying, Si, you believed you were married.
What's the distinction?
But your wife.
What's the distinction?
What's that?
What's the distinction?
That is a subjective. That is a subjective distinction, because to me, you believe God exists.
No, I know he is.
If God does not exist, was he a Christian?
I'm aware of that. I'm aware that you believe that. But to me,
we've got too many conversations going on. Let Steve and Si go here, and then we'll get everybody else's opinion.
If God does not exist, was he a Christian?
No. Because
by
that's an impossible
hypothesis. Why are you saying that then? Why is that is that impossible? He still was a follower.
Okay, I think I know what you're saying. If Christianity is false, then he was a Christian.
Yes, it just means that the belief was false.
Right. Well, no. If Christianity is false, but I won't go there. I say Christianity is true. And somebody who says Christianity is false cannot have been in the position where God is the ultimate authority. My question again
is,
how
does it change? That doesn't change the fact that at one time.
You're breaking up and you're lagging, so it's a very difficult conversation. Real quick,
we're gonna
let's turn
we're
gonna it over to you. But yeah,
okay. Here's a simple question: does a Christian know that God exists?
I don't believe that they can have knowledge of that myself. I think that's a high.
Okay, well,
that's
too long. We differ in definitions then.
Well, I already stated so that.
I would say a Christian is somebody who knows that God exists, because you cannot be saved by a probability.
But at the time, you would know.
Yeah.
Okay.
For me,
yeah. So,
hold on. Listen, here's how we're going to have to do this, because there's so many people in this call. Okay. I will direct where the conversation is going to go. I'll call on you, Jim, John, and next, and Si. Let Steve and I finish making these points for the people who are in the live chat, and then I will call on you when we want to hear what you have to say. We'll have to do this in pieces because there's so many people in this call. All right, so Si, as a Christian, when I was a Christian, I was convinced. I would say I knew. I fully believed that there was a God. I mean, I was in this. I would say I was in the same boat that you are right now. I would answer it as confidently as you are today. So, how could I not have been from where you're coming from.
Again, the point is that you cannot reason out of the position that God is the foundation of your reasoning. It's impossible. It's logically impossible.
You're mistaken, because what Kyle's saying is this. In order for something to have knowledge, the proposition has to be true. You agree on that?
Right.
Okay. So if there's no truth maker, if God doesn't exist, if God does not exist, there's no truth maker there. There's no fact of the universe to correspond to that truth. You're going to go with correspondence theory. Kyle is saying that if God doesn't exist, he just didn't have knowledge at the time. He falsely thought that he had knowledge of God that he just didn't have. What's wrong with that? It's perfectly logical.
But I was fully convinced, you know what I'm saying?
I could be fully convinced that my wife existed, but if I find out 20 years later that she never existed, I would have no problem saying that it was a false belief. I was never married.
To me, you didn't have knowledge.
With that example, to me, it's like you had a wife. Let's say this, to put it into perspective of where we're coming from. We had a wife for 10 years, and then all of a sudden, we had a real wife. She was there. We had a real wife. Then all of a sudden, she wasn't there because we realized that she wasn't true. But she was there for those years. She was there.
No, she wasn't. Not according to you. You believe she was there.
What if in 10 years, Cy, you became an atheist?
It's impossible.
Just for argument's sake, and you looked back.
I'm saying it's an impossible.
You were a real Christian. Okay. You would answer yes.
But that doesn't matter. It's an impossible hypothetical. It's still a hypothetical that we can address. It doesn't have to be a possible hypothetical. There's no thing out there that says a hypothetical has to be possible. That's why it's a hypothetical. You just posit.
It's a thought experiment.
It's a counterfactual.
If you looked back as an atheist in 10 years, if somebody asked you, Cy, were you a Christian, I have a firm belief that you would answer, absolutely, I was.
No, I wouldn't. No, it wouldn't make sense. I would say I thought I was, but I wasn't. Logically, I don't see why you guys have a problem with this. Logically, it doesn't make sense. I thought I was married. And that my wife didn't exist. So I wasn't married. I thought I was.
But married is a legal term, Cy. Marriage is a contract with a person. Christianity is a faith-based system.
It's a belief system. Religion is a belief. Right. It's a belief system on its face. It's
Christianity, a relationship with God.
Yes.
Okay. So you have to.
I think you're defining it inappropriately, though, because it's not a relationship with God. It's a perceived relationship with God.
I've tried really hard to be quiet and patient, but I just can't handle this anymore. If you were a Catholic and you were on the church rolls, okay, and you were no longer a Catholic and you left, were you still a member of the Catholic Church? Yes.
Was I a member? Yes.
It's yes. The answer is yes. Okay.
Of course.
So what is the difference between being a member of the Catholic Church and being a member of Christianity?
Because Christianity is not a club. It's a relationship with the God of the universe.
The hell, it's not a club. You go to a clubhouse every week.
Okay, listen, this is just a simple logical problem. You guys can think about this if you want.
It is a simple logical problem, but you are not looking at it logically. That's the problem.
Sure. I have no problem letting the people watching this make that decision.
See, I understand Sal is saying completely. Sal, I completely understand what you're saying and agree.
Well, thank you.
Well, you're both Christians.
For now.
Yeah, because you're saying that a Christian is somebody who has who believes that God, who simply has a belief that God exists, not somebody who knows that God exists and has a relationship with him. Well, you're not defining what a Christian is. You are wrong defining it then, and you're wrong defining it now. So yes, you believe you are a Christian, but you aren't a Christian. You are only a Christian if you're
dead. What is First John 2:4 say again?
Let me finish. You are only a Christian if your definition of Christianity is true, and I'm saying it's false. That's all. Very simple.
So what was I?
You were somebody who thought they were a Christian.
Okay,
you're a false convert.
What was I?
False convert.
How many how many people are out there that hold the same beliefs that you do, the very same beliefs that are false Christians?
Zero.
So you are one of the future Christians, right?
One of the what? Future?
Future.
I will always be a Christian. Yes.
Okay. What differentiates you between other Christians that makes you an arbiter of truth?
Well, nothing differentiates me from other true Christians. What differentiates me from false converts is that God is my ultimate authority.
Okay, so how is God not my ultimate authority? Can you explain that to me?
Because you reasoned out of that position, which exposed that you were your ultimate authority and not God.
I reasoned out of it using the word of God.
Wrong.
Your mic's cutting
out. What if your idea of a Christian is wrong, Ty?
There you go.
What if my idea is
out of?
Yeah.
I'm saying it's not. I reasoned out of Christianity. I reasoned out of Christianity using the word of God.
Wait, you guys are both breaking up. Real quick, you guys are both breaking up, and nobody can hear very well. So, Jim, you got to wait until Kyle's done. Okay.
What if your definition of what a true Christian is wrong? Like, how do you know how do you know that?
Certing it by fiat.
I just know.
You're he knows certain. That he knows that he knows because reasons.
How can that?
No, because
how
does
that work? It doesn't.
God makes us know.
Sorry, let me ask you this. The day before Jim decided to lose faith. Let's say Jim was as convinced as Willie, and he was professing this, and you were like, you know, you told him you're a true Christian, like you're telling Willie right now he's a true Christian. The day after,
I've never said that to anybody because I don't know.
Well, you are making judgments here. I mean, you are under the perception that Willie is. Okay, but you're under the perception that Willie is. Is Willie not a true Christian? You have no idea.
I don't know.
How are you judging Jim if he was or wasn't?
Pardon me?
Then how do you know Jim wasn't? You're just assuming it because you're a priest.
Because he left.
That's it. No. I'm saying that he wasn't. He's not now.
But that's according to your precept. There's no ontological facts to be had for that.
Exactly. Okay. It's according to my precept and my definition of Christianity.
Well, you're just having a semantic argument.
As is mine. At that point.
No, there you go, Jim. It's just a semantic.
Who invests in us the right to judge whether or not somebody else is a true Christian or not, if we don't know for sure if our own definition of what a true Christian is the right one, because there are people that interpret the Bible 9,000 different ways. Who's correct?
Okay,
definition.
Anybody can see that they're married then, and nobody has the right to judge whether they're married or not. Even if they're
legal term.
There's a black and white proof that you're married or not. Like
there is a legal thing for that.
Marriage. Right. It's either you are or you're not.
Well, I would say that.
That's a really false. That's a false equivocation there. There's a false comparative.
I can't read that.
Could you get Brandon of that? Could it be wrong?
No, I could be wrong. No. But again, it's impossible to reason out of the position that God is the foundation of your reason. It's impossible. Logically.
How do you know that?
How do you make decisions? You do it by reason, right? I mean, we all use reason. We have to presuppose. Suppose that reason exists, right? We have the ability to reason. We presuppose a lot of things, but you can't tell somebody you can't use reason to reason. That's self-refuting.
No,
you can't say reason. I'm not. You have to use your reason. I mean, you're asking for the impossibility. It's literally like asking, hey, why don't you do a handstand without using your hand? We have to use reason to come to reasonable positions. That's just a fact.
But reason requires a foundation.
Jim, did you have reasons why you left? Did you have a foundation why you left? You're muted. Jim?
No. Jim, you're muted.
Okay, go ahead. Jim, your mic's.
Well, look, I had reasons. I had reasons. Let me answer that question.
Sure.
It was a process that brought me out of Christianity. I mean, during that process and looking back now, I would say the biggest reason that I turned away from Christianity is the problem of evil and suffering. And the problem also of enlightenment. You know, we talked a lot about how God was, you know, the most enlightened being in the church I belong to. And I finally came to the conclusion that if this being is the ultimate of enlightenment, how could that being allow evil and suffering to exist? And from there it went to, well, gosh sakes, I could do a better job than him, you know, a feeling like that. And from there, it was like Jim said before, the more I studied the Bible, trying to get out of those thoughts, the more it just pulled me to those thoughts until I came to the conclusion that, that I did not no longer believe that God exists.
Hi.
Wow. This is the first moment of 10 seconds of quiet.
Let's enjoy it.
Let's enjoy it.
Yeah, really.
And everybody breathe. This is why I said, he needed to reserve his patience.
I'm actually really surprised by this.
We here like you, Sai. We think that you're a.
I do. I like Sai. I've got a record of that. I like Sai. Sai hate me for it.
You're a teddy bear. Outside of the whole debate on things, you are a teddy bear. But man, when on the argument, it's infuriating sometimes.
He's no, but the thing is, I've talked to people who have professed atheism who left the faith, and they have no problem admitting that they thought they were Christians, but that they weren't really. I don't even see why it's a big problem.
Jim, I think it's a problem because of what I was talking about before. Is like, if you're going to say we weren't true Christians before we left the faith, how can anybody know that they're a true Christian?
You know what though, John? I have to agree with Sai on that point, because like just me personally, it doesn't bother me whether or not someone thinks that I believed I was or I wasn't. It doesn't take anything away from me. So I have to agree on that point that he's got.
Yeah, I agree with that too, but I'm just saying from a standpoint of debating the issue. If you say that I wasn't a true Christian when I was a Christian, yeah, I could care less, really, you know. But then
sure.
The question goes back to you. How do you know? How can anybody know that they're a true Christian? How can you know, Sai? I mean, how can
you? Did you be wrong?
I would say that God makes us know. But, you know, I'll go a step further. I will say that people who now profess to be Christians and God is not their ultimate authority, and I see them all over Twitter, I see them all over the internet, people who say that God is their ultimate authority and they're not consistent with that, then I would say they're not true Christians as well. I mean, I have no problem with that. I think it's just definitional. You know, a true Christian is somebody who has God as their ultimate authority, God and his word as their ultimate authority. And you cannot reason out of that position logically, because when you reason out of it, it shows that God is not the authority of your reasoning, because you become autonomous. You would admit that now you are autonomous. Well, Christians are not autonomous. God is the authority of our reason. We're not autonomous.
I just still don't follow how you can say that you can't reason your way out of that. It just doesn't seem reasonable to me.
Kyle can't hear.
I mean, you can reason yourself out of anything.
Yeah, I don't get that either, Sai. Look, we all reason things, right? I mean, I left, you know, the church because of reasons, right? I had reasons with back in 2008 with the whole Prop 8 thing. I left, and so because I found it inconceivable to me that a church would involve themselves in politics to that degree, and I didn't feel that their mindset corresponded to the way I thought. And then, you know, as I
wore
more, I'm like, I never had the garments, but I couldn't accept that anymore because of the historical facts, the things I learned about.
Right. Because you leaned on your own understanding.
That's all we have. We only have our own understanding. Nobody else can understand for us.
No, that's not what the Bible says. 5 and 6, lean not on your own understanding, and in many ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. If you reject that, you're not a Christian. Simple.
The Bible never handles straight paths. Or anything straight for that matter.
Well, Jesus also said in the Bible, you know, obey your slave master as if he was the Lord. So I don't understand. Quoting the Bible doesn't really mean anything, you know, as far as ultimate
authority. It's irrelevant to the topic. Sorry.
And I love seafood. I have some pollock right here.
That's not going to go. That's not
going to
go.
I would be going to hell for this 2,000 years ago. To hell for this for 2,000 years ago.
Here's what I think we've learned tonight. I think that we've learned that we can't logic our way out of this position of us thinking that we're true Christians. And Cy can't logic his way into it because he can't know for sure he's correct on what a true Christian is either. Can we agree on that?
No, I do know. I do know for sure that I'm correct.
Oh, you can't just Cy, I love you, man, but you can't just say I know because I know or because I know. The Bible told like
I'm saying I know because God makes me know.
Well, yeah, but what
is Willie still here?
Okay, what if I said I said this? What if I said God makes me know that you don't know what a true Christian is?
Can you guys hear me?
Well, I would say you're lying because you know you profess to not believe in God.
Oh, okay. So it goes right to deception. Okay. Kyle, the deceiver.
I want to make a point.
Can't reason out. We're deadlocked here. I think this is a draw. I mean,
it's not that Kyle could be mistaken. Wait. He has to actually be lying, which requires a deliberate intent. Well,
you go right for the heart. You can lie about right for the heart. Man. Right for the heart.
No, clearly he wouldn't appeal to God because he says he doesn't believe in God.
Let's say I was a Christian, right? And I was telling you that you don't know. God told me what a Christian is, and he told me that you were wrong. How do you argue that point? Like, how do you argue if you were going up against a Christian? How do you two argue that point when you're both saying that God's giving you this revelation?
It would be the fallacy of hasty generalization to say because someone is wrong, therefore nobody cannot know for certain that they're right.
That's not what you're doing.
No, I'm not saying that nobody can't know. I'm just saying how do you two decide which one of you is correct?
Well, that's what we do at Bible studies. I would say I know that I'm correct. However, we go to our ultimate authority.
You're going to Bible study me.
Circular.
Wait. So you go to Bible studies where other people learn the right way, but you already have the right way. So why in the fuck do you go to Bible studies?
I'm sorry. I'm not. If you're going to be profane, then I'm just not interested in that. We go to Bible studies because
okay. I won't say any more curse words. I'm sorry.
The word of God is our ultimate authority. That's how Christians discover things, by looking at our ultimate authority, not by looking at it.
But the problem is that you believe that you have a monopoly on the true interpretation. You believe that you and you alone, and people like you, alone understand the word of God, and that these Bible studies, I guess, are helping other people. Are you passing on some sort of infinite Gnostic wisdom that others don't have?
Let me ask you a question, a very simple question. If somebody
can
says
answer mine first, and then you can ask me a question.
Well, this my question will help explain my answer to your question. If somebody said, "I don't believe that Jesus ever existed or that he died for me," but they profess to be a Christian, would they be?
Well, no, because that's kind of foundational, right? If they never believed, right? We're talking they never believed,
right?
Okay.
Right, and that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about foundation. There are foundational beliefs that Christians do not disagree on.
But that's the thing, at one time I did hold that foundational belief, though. See, the analogy that you posited was as if you never knew about it.
No, it was never true.
What constitutes knowledge?
Wait,
to you?
Wait.
What constitutes knowledge? Because you kept talking about knowledge. What is generally there's three things that comprise knowledge for a very simplistic view, and you can have many different theories of knowledge. But what are some very important factors to claim knowledge? Well, you're making a knowledge claim. So what do you?
I will talk about one factor. One factor is that it must be true.
Okay, so that's true. I agree with you. It has to be true. What's another one that has to be the case?
That's all sufficient. That's sufficient.
No, it's not sufficient.
I have no problem with the justified true belief for the purpose of this discussion.
Okay, so what are the other two conditions for justified true belief then? There's three conditions for JDP, right?
Well, I'm talking about one of them.
Okay, but but that's a necessary but not sufficient condition. There are three conditions to be satisfied for JTP.
That's sufficient because he's saying that it was never true.
You cannot have that as sufficiency if there's three.
No, what I'm saying.
Three must things what you must I'm have. Saying, if you only have one, that's not sufficient.
What I'm saying is it's sufficient. Steve, it's sufficient to refute his position. That's all I'm saying.
But it's not sufficient to claim knowledge. What are the other two that you need to claim knowledge? That's
a whole other discussion.
But what are they? What are they?
What justified true belief?
I can tell you. Yeah, but what are the three conditions for JTP? You got one of them. If you don't know, I'll tell you. I'm not trying to sharp shoot you. I'm just curious.
It's JTP irrelevant.
JTP requires three things for justified true belief. The proposition has to be true, as you noted. The subject has to believe the proposition, which he did. Okay. And he has to be justified. So he was justified according to his own reasoning, right? And he also believed it. So he met two of the three. So the third operator is true. The evidence that shows true for the evidence that shows it's true is the same evidence that shows it's false. It's whatever. There's no truth maker to be had there. You cannot say that he was wrong or right. You just can't. You can't claim knowledge on that because you have to show that that the proposition is true. How do you do that? Presupposing it is fiat.
No, for somebody to be a Christian, it must be true that God exists. Is that not fair?
To be a Christian, somebody just has to believe that is true.
None of this is fair.
Well, that is definitional. Because you can believe anything.
You played a semantic game. Yes. This is semantics doing. You are doing a no true Scotsman fallacy because you're just going by definition. What, Kyle?
Listen, you're saying that somebody can be a Christian if it is not true that God exists. That's absurd.
Yes. Why?
Okay, but so this whole I want to make a very important point right now. I mean, how far are we into this now? I mean, a while, right? Like past an hour, easy. And with as much concern as you guys have shown for me not being a true Christian, not a single one of you have even shown the slightest bit of interest in what it was, what things I discovered that led me to my atheism. We're not in the slightest bit concerned.
Because it's irrelevant.
Actually,
to
I did
discussion.
Ask that question when you were muted. It's irrelevant.
It's irrelevant to the topic.
How is it irrelevant? Because you're saying that I wasn't a true Christian, but I really don't want to be insinuating, but I feel pretty comfortable saying that I'm either on par or a little bit ahead of you in textual criticism of the Bible. is that safe to say,
I have no problem with that, but the problem is you are autonomous. You are your own ultimate authority. That's not true for a Christian.
But I wasn't always. Many of the beliefs that I hold today still, I developed as a Christian.
So how did you reason?
Sorry, was I never a Mormon? Because if you don't believe Mormonism is true, was I never a Mormon?
No, I think that you
are. Any Mormons are Christians.
Okay, then what's the difference? Mormon is just a label, because, right? I mean, it's same thing for any belief system. They're all under Christianity.
But they're not foundational. Mormonism is not true.
So what?
Would you say that the validity of the accounts of Jesus being the Gospels, would you say that those books are essential to your belief? Would you consider that something to be foundational?
I would say that that Jesus dying for my sins is foundational.
Okay. Being a Christian. Can you tell me if Jesus died on the day of preparation or if he died on the day of Passover?
Irrelevant.
Are you kidding me? It is not irrelevant because John tells us that he was crucified on Passover. Yet every other reference says that he was crucified on the day of preparation, which is the evening before.
It's irrelevant.
How is that irrelevant? We're talking about your Savior here. How is that irrelevant? This is very foundational.
When he died for my sins.
The validity of these Gospels are essential to
if we are
your
going
belief.
To do this.
Hang on. And if there is a contradiction, then it is your duty to either explain it or excuse it in some way. So, I mean, either you're going to ignore it, excuse it, or explain it. So I guess we'll figure out which one that's going to be.
Listen, I am the only one in this conversation who can have a problem with contradictions because I believe in absolutes. And since you rejected God, how can you have a problem with contradictions? Where do you get the absolute laws of logic by which you forbid contradictions?
When you bring up the problem of contradictions,
you're assuming that God exists.
I don't believe in absolutes. So
that is ridiculous.
Sigh.
Okay, why can't you have contradictions?
Are you saying that only Christians can have contradictions?
We're going to start to get to the wrapping up point, by the way, so just keep that in
mind. Okay,
Jim, you have to, like, breathe, dude. I mean, you're just stepping over everybody. Relax, we know you're passionate, but Kyle's trying to talk here, and you're just, like, stepping. So just relax, breathe, man. We do have to wrap.
I have set my whiteboard down for tonight.
Well, I'm aware of that, but I mean...
Jim!
Jeez. It would break my heart to meet you, Jim, but I have to be fair. So don't make me do that.
Breathe.
All right.
Breathe.
We are getting to the wrap-up point. I know that everybody here in this call is very passionate about this topic. What we're going to do is we're going to go around. We're going to give you each time to wrap up your thoughts without interruption. No one interrupt at any point. Actually, Dave, mute everybody that's not speaking so that we have no interruptions. So that each person can get out their final thoughts or any other whatever else that you want to put out there is fine. And we'll start with Willie. We'll start with you. And we'll let you say however you want to wrap up this conversation. Okay, great. Thank you, Willie.
Willie dropped, actually, I think.
Oh, he did? Okay. Yeah. John, then.
Hello? Can you hear me now?
Hello. Yep, you're on.
The thing I was going to say was I'd like to maybe talk to Willie again and hang out when, you know, there's not as many voices trying to get in. And I'd like to say it was interesting actually being on a live stream with the infamous Sitten Brugenkate. And I feel as if I have, met someone famous now. So that's all I got to say.
Could you be wrong about that, John?
I absolutely could be wrong about that. Bigly.
All right. We'll go to Cy, and then we'll give Jim the last word for tonight. So, Cy?
Well, thanks for having me on, guys. And you guys know that I love you guys, and I do this because I'm passionate for your souls. And, you know, I just don't think that it's such a big problem. I think that if you were to say that it's possible to be a Christian while it is not true that God exists, I think that that's absurd. And I also believe that it's absurd to say that you can reason out of a position that God is the foundation of your reasoning. And of course, biblically, I would say that, you know, that also indicates that the person who left the faith was never a Christian. But really, I don't care what people call themselves. I don't care what they used to call themselves. I don't care what they call themselves now. For me, you know, it's a logical problem. It's a biblical problem. But I care about your eternal souls. And I want, I don't know, I haven't met the other fellows yet, but I want Kyle and Steve to know that I do pray for you guys. And I love you guys. And I thank you guys for having me on. And I look forward to doing this again sometime.
Sure. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Si. All right. And Jim, now you can unleash whatever it is that you have been pinting up there. The dam is yours to break, my friend.
That's yeah.
I think that if you were to say that it's possible to be a Christian while it is not,
what is that?
I think that's Willie.
I just want to say that it doesn't really matter either. I mean, it is just a label, but whenever you are utilizing that label as a dishonest means to discredit somebody in an argument, and that shows your unwillingness or unableness to to defend your argument from an honest standpoint. So, I mean, if you want to seem that I was never a Christian, then fine, but don't do it during an argument when we're talking about the Bible just as a means to blow me off or to discredit me or to insinuate in any way that I am interpreting it wrong or that I can't interpret it right because I was never a Christian.
That's fair. I think that's fair. Okay, now we're going to go to everybody's favorite part, Super Chats.
Can I ask Steve a quick question? Are you going to have an after show tonight?
If there's no quick questions with Steve.
Yeah, I'll give you listen to my answers.
That was my question.
I don't know. This is a fascinating topic, and I love having Cy on, you know, my channel to discuss things because Cy is a great sounding board. I mean, if you can, you know, understand what he's arguing and have viable counter, it's great. I mean, he is very good at pre-stumping. I'll give him that. So these are not easy targets for people. He's not low-hanging fruit. I'm sorry. But I don't know. It's up to you guys, maybe. I don't think
Willie's back.
Maybe you can give him the last word.
Willie's gone.
No, I thought I saw Willie,
are you back?
Yeah. You told me to mute my mic.
My bad. We thought you'd left. Go ahead and get your last thought in, and then I need to get to these super chats.
Okay.
Got about six.
Yeah, no problem. I just want to thank everyone for being here and listening. I want to thank Jim for talking with me. This is the first time I've ever done something like this. So I appreciate, you know, the understanding. I want to thank Kyle. I want to thank Steve. I want to thank everyone listening. And I just would like to say God bless. Thank you, Cy, brother. You know, this was fun. And then hopefully next time I come on, I'll be a little more well-versed and know where Jesus is born.
I think you did great.
Yeah. I think you did too. For your first appearance on the live stream, I think you held you held out very good, my friend.
And I apologize for walking all over everybody. I was under the insinuation of just meeting somebody else. I didn't know I was gonna get. God damn it! I didn't know I was gonna get bombarded.
Okay, all right, John Foley. The heart is not optimized for random thought, rational thought. Frank McAvoy says, "Fun fact: the two most famous 20th century Catholics were originally atheists: Thomas Merton and Dorothy Day." Brian Stevens, Jim's not a true Christian, for the Bible tells me so. That's a little tongue-in-cheek there, Jim.
Yeah, don't have an aneurysm. I got that. No,
Mr. Cook Jr., this guy sounds like he's just spitting out canned Christian statements that he got from... now, this is funny, okay? This is before you came into the call, Cy, okay? He says, this guy sounds like he's just spitting out canned Christian statements that he got from subscribing to Cy 10. Also, are you guys getting... are you guys getting TJ on? Yes, we are. TJ will be here on Tuesday. Join us for that. He will be here on Tuesday. Brian Stevens, again, says, plot twist, Jim is still a true Christian. Kit Hoven CPA says, size ringtone. How do you know that, Matt? Repeat.
I should tell that.
Oflamio, Cy 10 Brugenkate versus Stephen Molyneux on universal preferable behavior and ethics. It needs to happen.
I would love that. He's Canadian. He's great. He's only a couple hours really away from me. If you guys can make that happen, I'm game.
Oh, what though? I have emailed him twice to try to get him. This was when we were a lot. I think we had 4,000 subs in. Maybe now that we're a little bigger, he might do it. I'll reach out to him again. But yeah, I'd love to have him on. Zero
seems like a nice guy.
He's got some far out there stances, but I mean, he's
interesting.
He's kind of like Sargon. I think Sargon is has some extreme views, but if you get him on the right topic, an actual, like a really good conversation can be had. And we've had him, Sargon, on twice, and he's done great with the conversation. Now that is a good to.
Go ahead. Do you guys do any shows on the Patreon debacle at all with Sargon?
We should.
No.
These days.
It'd be interesting because Peterson and that other fellow, Dave Rubin, they left because of it. And that would be an interesting show. How the people on the right did not react until it was an atheist that got booted.
Well, they left because they have their own thing coming up.
They left because of Sargon.
Well, I think. I don't want to seem conspiratorial, but I think they use that as a cover. But they had their own like Patreon thing that they're working on together. So I think they may have used that situation to.
It's not just Patreon. Twitch is just doing the same things. I mean, Twitch is banning people for really this stupid thing. So
yeah, we're going to deplatform. Hassan from the Young Turks got booted this past weekend.
A girl on Twitter just got banned for saying there are only two genders.
Right.
Well, we'll discuss this more in the after show. And by the way, all of you guys in the call are invited to that. We'll go into this a little bit more, but I do want to talk about too that YouTube. I follow a couple of those motocross channels. And from time to time, they have like compilation videos of them wrecking. You know what I mean, like road rage, stuff like that. All three of them posted 2 days ago that they were getting taken from the partnership program because YouTube said that their channel did not reflect the values that YouTube is trying to emulate in the future. So I think something major is coming. Because you know they're just motocross channels. I mean, there's nothing more to them. Okay, 0132132. If the universe lasts long enough, a random fluctuation will create a brain that believes that divine revelation has proven that it isn't just a brain.
Yeah, that's called the ultimate brain.
Eso Lycan says 2 Thessalonians 2:11. How does I know he's not under an illusion by God and just can't logic his way out of it? How do we disprove something isn't God?
That's it.
No comment. Okay, sweet. It's up to you if you want to answer it. It was directed to you.
There is no example in Scripture of God deceiving or sending a spirit to one of his elect.
What?
Oh, wait, he'll send it to other people.
How about die if you eat from the tree?
Oh,
you'll die if you leave from the tree.
For the after show.
We're not gonna agree, so let's just breeze through these. Sweet Heathen says, you both think that you're married, neither of your wives exist. You're both presented with the same info. One accepts and one still believes he's married. Ronald Mencondona says, Psy does not know God exists. If he does, he should collect his Nobel Prize. Puffaloofagus, watch out. Psy will pray for a hardship to happen. And then Pavlovicus wanted you to know that, Cy, if you can't show it, you don't know it. Clayton Page said, what if you were married for 10 years and get a divorce? Were you really married? Genius Track says, Cy 10 will die regretting the inherent intellectual dishonesty of the precept script. Everybody knows it's a canard. Creation-induced lobotomy. Cy could possibly be a great guy, but religion? Ooh.
Mm. Ooh, ouch.
Yeah, but you know what, though? I mean, I think Cy's a good guy. I think that, like I said earlier, his argument is frustrating as all get out. But, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's why I like it.
Yeah, and I want to apologize for getting heated earlier.
You deal with people, there's no challenge half the time. And Cy at least makes you think. He could be wrong as hell, but
it's fine. I'm gonna take it out on Kyle's prostate later.
Okay. John Foley said, if we threw out the Bible, how would you know God, specifically the Christian God, exists? You can only presup when you have prior knowledge. And it looks like that's gonna be the last of those. Sai, I think they're warming on you because those weren't nearly as bad as the last round. So I think you're
you should have seen it the last time. You were voted our Easter gift. They're warming up.
Okay.
They heard you guys say nice things about me on that Canadian Atheist podcast. That's probably why.
I enjoyed that. That was a good podcast, Canadian Atheist, that they invited me on. Yeah.
So we're going to take about a 15-minute break, and then we'll be back here for the after show. Everybody in the call, as always, is invited. As soon as we close out of here officially, we'll give you the link to all that.